know what? You may be seated. The Lord was speaking to me last night about 11 o'clock on the road home. Maybe it was 10 o'clock. I got home and I couldn't go to bed. The presence of the Lord was with me in the car. And when I got home, I just had to open up the Bible. I was tired. I could barely keep my eyes open. But I wanted to spend that extra time with the Lord. And so he told me some things for you this morning. And one of the things that he showed me this morning when I got up was Acts 9:31. And it says, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in fear of the Lord and in comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase." Three things continued to increase: peace, fear of the Lord, and comfort of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord would like to say to you this morning, if this is not increasing in your life, you're holding on to the wrong thing. You're not holding on to Jesus. You're holding on to whatever it is. And you know what he says this morning? Let go. Let it go. Quit holding on to that thing because it's not really that great. Jesus is so much better. Let go. That's the word that he has for you this morning. Let go. Continue to increase in peace, fear of the Lord, and comfort of the Holy Spirit. You see, if you're holding on to other things, they burden you down. But Jesus' burden is light. His yoke is easy. So if you're feeling burdened down and heavy laden, let it all go. We're going to listen to this song this morning that I was listening to all the way home. And I was worshiping the Lord and just letting it all go and giving it to Jesus. And that's what I want you to do as we listen to this song this morning. I want you to let it go. Worship team, I want you to let it go. Sound booth, I want you to let it go. That's what the Lord told me. It's not just for us. It's for all of us, the church. Let it go. Give it to him and he'll take it. He wants to take it so badly. If you just give it to him, whatever that is, I don't know what it is. I don't know what you've been holding on to. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's just something. Maybe it's a ministry that you haven't been giving to the Lord. Maybe you haven't been preaching the gospel like you want to do, but you haven't been giving it to the Lord. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It can be even a good thing, a really good thing. But you haven't given it over to God. Just encourage you this morning. Give it to the Lord.
Shame, lay it all down, lay it all down. When your cares have buried you and there's nothing left to do, lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. carried on, but your heart was tired. Feared the worst and felt the fire. Lay it all down. Lay it all down. Filled with all those anxious thoughts, and your doubts became your God. Lay it all down. Lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. There's nothing here that can ease the pain. Lay it all down. Lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. Lay it all down.
You make some noise in a minute, and because we got to this place in worship, and I think it was that God so loved, and Sharon mentioned he deserves so much more than we've given him this morning. Things are not broken by inactivity. When we worship, when we declare how amazing he is, that's when things break. Amen. And so we're going to have an opportunity in just a moment to worship him, to clap our hands and praise the Lord, but I want you to do it not as how you feel, okay? Because you're not just bringing about breakthrough in your life, you're bringing around breakthrough in the lives of other people around you. So we're not gonna golf clap and, hey, praise you, Jesus. We want to give praise that is deserving of the King. Praise that is worthy of the sacrifice that he gave. I'm really good at taking slivers out, but my kids go, oh, no, I don't want to, I don't want to. Go beyond what you want to, and it doesn't feel good, it doesn't feel quite right, but I want us to erupt in this place with more praise than what you feel. Can we do that? Amen. A quarter of us can. Let's stand up. Would you play that just a little bit? Just some chords, maybe. God so loved. Let's sing the chorus to God So Loved. And at the end of that, we're just going to continue and erupt in this place with praise. Clap your hands, declare his goodness, and when you feel like stopping, keep going. Okay? All right. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Power of hell, the power of hell, forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved. Let's sing it one more time. For God so loved. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are amazing, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for your church, for your body. Be glorified, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving in our midst, for loving us, for being with us. You are faithful. You are glorious. Holy, holy, holy is the King. Majesty, Emmanuel, worthy, 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 Jesus. Amen. 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 Woo! I don't want to do announcements now.
A lot of different kinds of instruments, different kinds of voices of the instruments, and each instrument has a different piece to play. And some of them, all by themselves, don't sound very impressive. You know, some of the things they play is just kind of a duh, 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 duh. But you put it all together, and it can be a beautiful expression of the soul and the spirit of man. But I wonder who is the orchestra, or who is the conductor of the orchestra? You know, and this morning, I think probably all of us discerned a conductor, not seen, but putting together everything today. What a blessing that is. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to welcome today Gene. It's good to have Gene over here with us. And my son John and Leanne came today. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. And where's Stan? Stan and Debbie, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It just didn't seem possible. They told me that it had been 5 months that they've been going through, but God has brought them through, and what a joy to have you here again today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I guess if there's nothing else, I'm going to start preaching. All right. Well, there's kind of an introduction. Do you have that slide ready to put up there for me? I just have one slide, and I want to have that just for a moment. This little cartoon picture here, there's no text with it, no story with it, just that picture. But I'll tell you what, it strikes something really nostalgic in me, because I remember my childhood, carefree, happy times, no troubles, and I loved the woods and I loved the streams, and those were the very best times of my life. And who was it that said that, I can't think of his name right now, but he said, I've seen a lot of trouble in my life, and most of it never happened. Have you ever you had that? Yeah, so anxieties and stresses, troubles, trouble us all. Is that right? Yeah, even sometimes children don't have many happy times, but lots of troubled times. And, you know, are you happy and carefree today? And is life one big fun adventure? Most of us have our moments, some good moments and some tough moments, some bad moments. But through it all, good or bad, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. 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 In trouble, the joy of the Lord is an oil of anointing. Give us strength, and we can be overcomers. Amen. Thank God for the Lord and his ministries to us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. Amen. I believe that's what the Lord is doing this morning. He's just leading us. He's just restoring. He's blessing us with rest. And I just want to pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the conductor of our service this morning. We pray that you would make us lie down. Make us rest in you and yield and submit and let go. Lord Jesus, we need you to lead us. We love the still waters. We love the paths of righteousness. Would you lead us, Lord, and restore our souls? Refresh our faith. Renew our vision and purpose. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we bless your holy name. Amen. Amen. So my text this morning is found in Luke chapter 4. And it'd be really good if you have your Bibles to open that, or your cell phones, whatever you're using for your Bible this morning. But it'd be good to have that open and reading along this morning. And just another encouragement as we get into the scriptures. I love the message in 1 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That is what to believe. And it can be so profitable for us this morning if we really believe what the scripture says. It'll bless your soul. Amen. So I'm going to read beginning at verse 14 in Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went throughout all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So after his temptation in the wilderness by the devil, he made this journey through all the region of Galilee, and he visited the synagogues, maybe every synagogue that was in that region. I don't know. I don't know how long this ministry trip of his took, but it was before he even called the disciples to be his helpers. But he had established a custom in his life that was already a habit. And when he was in the synagogue, he stood up to read. And so the scriptures were given to him. It makes a point that in this story here now, he's in Nazareth, the place where he had been brought up. And so you remember that they lived there. He and his mother and father and his younger siblings lived in Nazareth. But when Jesus was 12 years old, his parents took him on pilgrimage on the Passover weekend and took him to Jerusalem to the temple, and they lost track of him. And they started heading home thinking he was tagging along somewhere in the group, but they couldn't find him when night came, and so they went back to Jerusalem to search for him. Scripture says they looked for him for 3 days. And when they found Jesus, where was he? He was in the temple discussing the scriptures and the law with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the doctors of the law. And so that was Jesus. He loved the word of God. He loved the teaching of the word of God. And for sure, he was doing it on this trip around Galilee. And it was long enough to get a reputation. I want to continue reading from verse 17 now. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And so all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. I'm going to stop right there, that sentence. Gracious words came out of his mouth because he was anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you remember when the Spirit of the Lord anointed him? Came down like a dove and lighted upon him. And that was what began the times of his ministry. So as a church, when we come together on the Lord's Day in the sanctuary, we're all looking and concerned about the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. The congregation wants the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord on the ministers. And, you know, you might think first of your pastors, your worship leaders, the worship team, the deacons that do transition times, things. And the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord is important to the congregation, but I guarantee you it's not nearly as important to the congregation as it is to those that are up here doing ministry to the congregation. And we spend time in prayer, and we earnestly seek God. And the worship team prays. The pastor, he prays more than anybody, prays, pleading with God to anoint the Word of God as he shares it in church. And that anointing is so important. Never fail to pray for your pastor. We thank God for our pastor. We pray that he comes back in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We make it a serious matter to seek God, and we strive against things that hinder the anointing. We try to be clean. We try to be set apart. And we try to be obedient. We try to be sensitive, discerning. We try to be hearing the voice of God. Amen. Every Christian should be intense about being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Don't you think so? Amen. We should intentionally be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Jesus' anointing was not just in the synagogue. It was wherever Jesus came across someone in trouble, he was anointed. He was anointed to minister to people who were in trouble. And in the same way, every Christian should be intense about being anointed when you come across someone in trouble. Amen. We want to be ministers, don't we? Amen. Jesus has an anointing to minister to people in trouble. And I said has, not had. For 3 years, he was going about Israel, and he had an anointing, but that anointing hasn't left Jesus. He has it today. Amen. And he can minister the same things today as he did when he read that scripture in the synagogue and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Amen. Hallelujah. Every Christian should have gracious words to offer. They marveled at Jesus' gracious words. You should offer gracious words to people that are in trouble. Amen. A lot of you would be aware that this scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 61, and that Jesus stopped in the middle of a sentence, in the middle of a paragraph, and he didn't read any farther. I'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 61, and you can turn with me if you like. It's going to take me a minute to get there left-handed. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. So Jesus began reading. I'm going to repeat that, the reading that Jesus gave. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that's where he stopped. Now the sentence continues, "and the day of vengeance of our God." And he stopped before he talked about the vengeance of our God. Now, the truth is, Jesus did sometimes talk about the vengeance of God, the end times. And he said, he told people what was going to be coming upon the earth. But Jesus wasn't there to take vengeance at that time. He didn't go around accusing and condemning and judging and overthrowing. But he went around healing. And he went around blessing. And his anointing was to minister to people in trouble. This sentence is not finished, and neither is the paragraph. Verse 2. His anointing was to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. Glory to God. We were inspired to give that glory to God this morning. Pastor Shane, thank you. There was an orchestra going on. Amen. Who are they in that last two phrases there? They that call trees of righteousness. They would be the planting of the Lord. Who are they? Well, they're the ones that were brokenhearted and that were mourning and that were oppressed, that the devil was beaten up, they were bruised, they were people hurting, and Jesus has an anointing to minister to people in trouble. You've probably had the times yourself. Maybe you haven't experienced Jesus healing your hurts, but he wants to heal your hurts, and he's able. Hallelujah. He's able. Sometimes the wounds of an abused child last their lifetime. But Jesus wants to heal those things. Amen. Those who have a spirit of heaviness, captives, bondages, weeping, mourning. And the world says, what a bunch of losers. But for the glory of God, Jesus has an anointing to turn them into trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Jesus turns losers into winners, victims into victorious, the tail into the head. Amen. Jesus can turn things upside down. You can be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Amen? What other garden did the Lord plant? He planted the Garden of Eden. And he's planting us in his garden to restore Eden to us. Hallelujah. What a blessed garden that was. All every sort of fruit. You're all fruits. I love the way the scriptures just one thing inspires another and it comes back again and again and again and again. I love the scriptures. You are the garden of the Lord. If you are the meek today, Jesus has an anointing to minister to you. And he says today, he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, isn't that awesome? The meek are those that are considered just not able to get for themselves. They just hang back and everybody else gets, but they don't get because they're too meek. He says, there's the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? If you are the poor, Jesus has anointing for you. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Luke, in repeating part of Jesus' message, says that blessed are the poor. Not doesn't add the poor in spirit, just blessed are the poor. And that's because poor people tend to be poor in spirit. You don't have a lot of pride or arrogance when you're poor. And Jesus blesses the poor. If you are mourning, Jesus has an anointing. He says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Hallelujah. Thank God for the comforts. Amen. You know, I can't help, I hope this is not offensive, but Judy is not in here. I don't see her. She's here this morning somewhere. Violet. There you are. Looking for you. Yeah. Bonnie. I see an anointing of the Lord for comfort on you ladies. And it's something that is astonishing to a lot of people who don't know the comfort of the Lord. For some, their mourning goes on and on and on. But the joy of the Lord is like an oil. It anoints you. And it works the power of God. It gives you strength. So God is good. God is good. If you are brokenhearted, Jesus binds up broken hearts. So a couple months ago, my chest was cut open, and they used those grippers, and they clamped each side, and they just open it right up so they can get their hands and heads in there to work. And when they put me back together, they used wire. And with wire, they bound the two sides of the rib cage back together and pulled that wire tight, cinched it tight, and the ends, they brought them together and they twisted it all up and tucked it in, up in there. I can feel it. But they bound up a wound that was a serious wound. Jesus binds up our wounds. Hallelujah. He binds up our broken hearts. And when this gets all healed up, good, it's still taking a while. It's going to be stronger than it was originally. Amen. They'll have to take wire cutters to me next time. If you're a captive and you're enslaved to something that's a bondage to you, it has you under its control. Jesus has anointing to set you at liberty. Hallelujah. He has the power to speak freedom. And hallelujah. Thank God for His power to do that. If you are bruised, life's just been so hard and so tough, you just feel beat up all the time and you got sore spots, His Spirit is a mollifying ointment that can heal bruises. I put a little bit of Bengay on this morning. I put a little bit there and a little bit there, and I was hoping maybe the ladies would smell it and like the smell of Bengay. It's good to smell good, isn't it? I mean, I like the smell of liniment. But I also use it sometimes for pains, you know. You get a what is that happens in your neck? Sometimes it's like a zing, It was just like an electric shock, you know. And then, so anyway, it's good. Yeah. If you are metaphorically sitting in sackcloth and ashes because of your sin and your iniquity and your transgressions, Jesus has an anointing to give you beauty for ashes. Amen. Amen. And he can make the ugliest people beautiful. He really can. So good. 1 Corinthians 1:26 tells us, "You see your calling, brothers, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Is that true? There aren't many of the elites that are called. There's some, but not many. "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise." I claim that. I'll claim that. "God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the mighty." I would say embrace it. Hug it to yourself. "The base things of the world." Base means things at the bottom. Yeah, are you at the bottom? Are you at the bottom of society? People not want to hang with you? He's able. "The things which are despised, God has chosen." It's no fun being despised, but we need to receive this, that God has chosen when you feel despised and set aside as nothing. "The things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, but of him you are in Christ Jesus." Amen. Got another page here. How long have I gone? I don't know. we're getting close here. So, on this day in Nazareth, news about Jesus had gone out throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. What kind of news was making the rounds? So that everybody in the region of Galilee was hearing about Jesus. I think the kind of news they were hearing was the kind of ministry that Jesus was already doing. He was healing the brokenhearted. He was setting captives free. He was doing these things. Amen. So in Nazareth, he read this scripture. He was anointed to minister to people in trouble. So are you, as followers of the Lord Jesus, disciples, are you alert to people in trouble? Do you notice? You pay attention and sort of your eyebrows go up. You see somebody, a brother in trouble. Do you have gracious words for them? Do you comfort their spirit with your words? Do you pray with them? Do you encourage them? Do you minister the Spirit to them? That's our calling, brothers and sisters. That's our calling. We need to be ministering to people in trouble. Couple more questions. Are you in trouble this morning? Are you brokenhearted? Do you have a spirit of heaviness? I think what the Lord has orchestrated this morning is that it's no secret what God can do. Amen. That's a song I love to sing. Most of you probably don't know it. You're too young. But it's no secret what God can do. He can heal you. He can deliver. He can set you free. Amen. Amen. So, Sharon, I'd like you to come, please, to the instrument. And I'm going to read another text from Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And the deacons that are going to help with distribution of the Lord's Supper, you could prepare yourselves. As I'm working my way through, I'm going to read this whole chapter, but by the time I'm done, I expect you to be up here ready to serve, okay? So I don't know who you are. You just do it. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I want you to pay attention now to these words that are descriptive of what the Messiah is prepared to do. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. And surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But, thank God for a significant but in the sentence here. He took our place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Jesus suffered every trouble that any of us have ever been troubled by. Jesus suffered those troubles for our sake. And he took them on himself on the cross. And his body was broken and his blood was shed so that we could have his place as a son of God. Amen. All we like as sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who will declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. He made his soul an offering for sin. Isn't it amazing what Jesus has done for us. Amen. He shall see his seed, that his offspring. Jesus never married, never had children, but he shall see his children right here in this congregation. He sees his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Gentlemen, please serve the congregation. Amen. You can even sing if you want to.
Thanks.
It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon. God can do.
Let's sing this chorus part again.
It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon.
The verse, the chimes of time?
I don't.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Amen. Just wait till Sharon and I are served. I don't think I've been served. Thank you. So in 1 Corinthians, where we have instructions about observing the Lord's Supper, he comes to this part where he says, every time you take the bread and drink the cup of the Lord, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You declare it. You preach. You teach the Lord's death every time you take this cup and this bread. You demonstrate it. You illustrate it. It's the message of the gospel. His body and his blood were broken and shed for you, so that you could be healed and whole. Hallelujah. And so as we remember, we discern, Scripture says, his body and his blood. That's what we're looking at. That's what we're thinking about. And it says, until he comes again. Do you think he's coming again?
Yes, amen.
Do you think he's coming soon?
Yeah.
I think so. I think he's on the doorstep, ready to take that time. And then there'll follow a time of the vengeance of the Lord. You don't want to be here for the vengeance of the Lord.
It's true.
You want to take the grace of God,
right,
and plead the blood.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So, if you will take the bread, let's dedicate it. Father in heaven, we thank you for the body that you prepared for Lord Jesus, knowing he was destined for that cross, and knowing that there his body would be broken for me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for enduring, Lord, the judgments of my sin and my iniquity and my transgression. And the stripes on your back were laid on your back to heal my wounds, my bruises, my troubles. I thank you for this bread that's this morning representing your body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake the bread. Amen. And so, take the cup. It's the New Testament. It's the new covenant in his blood. It's the promise of our salvation. It's written down in heaven. It's written in the Scriptures. Is it written on your heart? Write it on your heart. And let's take the cup together. In Jesus' name. Now may the Spirit of the Lord be upon you, an anointing to be the sons of God, the brothers and the sisters of Jesus. And let us be disciples. Let us be his witnesses. And let us minister to the poor, the brokenhearted, the oppressed, the discouraged, and all those who are in any kind of trouble. Let's lend a hand in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, church. God bless you. You're dismissed.